Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Now, the Cowboys are a 3-point underdog on the road against the Panthers on Sunday on Fox. Odds makers are not on Dallas's side going into the season because they are expected to miss the playoffs. They still have Dak and Zeke, but there are injury concerns on the offensive line and then question marks at receiver. So how about them Cowboys, Shannon? Will they make the playoffs?
No.
Yeah, I didn't need to wait till, you know, this came out. I told you in July that they weren't making the playoffs. And as a matter of fact, we got cases to do on it, don't we, Skip?
We do.
Yeah, okay, good. No, they're not making the playoffs, Skip, because really when you look at it, they have one playmaker on the offensive side of the football, and that's Zeke Elliott. You look at the tight ends, your three tight ends, 9 catches between the three of them. Mm-hmm. Allen Hurns and Terrence Williams, mm-hmm. those are your two top receivers.
Yep.
Those are the guys that you're going to count on to get big plays. Really? Mm. And as good as that offensive line is, at some point in time, Skip, Travis Fredericks is out. Mm-hmm. Zach Martin got dinged. He's going to be, you know, in preseason. He'll be back. Tyron Smith has been dealing with this back issue mm-hmm. for the last several years. Mm-hmm. And one thing we know about backs, they come and they go. Mm. And I don't even want to get on the defensive side because Sean Lee, we already know what happened, right, Skip? Every once in a blue moon, I don't foresee one. You know,
seriously, do you sit home at night with voodoo dolls? You got a Sean Lee voodoo doll. You got a Tyron Smith voodoo doll.
No, Skip.
You probably got a Dak and Zeke.
No.
You definitely got a Travis Frederick, and it worked.
You have a Skip one?
No. Here's the thing, Skip. I think the greatest predictor of future is past.
Oh.
So what does that tell? What is Sean Lee? What has Sean Lee shown you in the past? Don't get sad now. I'm asking you. It's your turn.
I don't know if I get to speak or not.
You can speak on it. What has Sean Lee done in
that? He's the best linebacker in football. Go ahead.
He's been nicked up. Mm. But that's the thing, Skip. If they had some outside playmakers, I have no problem with them moving on from mm-hmm. Dez Bryant. But I at least thought they would bring someone in, mm-hmm. an adequate replacement to Dez Bryant. Mm-hmm. I hardly think Allen Hurns is an adequate replacement to Dez Bryant. Mm. Okay, Jason Witten decided to move on.
Yep.
You replace him with Rico Gathers and who's the other guy, Skip? You know him. Let's see. Tight end. Jeff Swain and Blake Jarwin. That's what you're going to pin your hopes to.
They're blockers. They can really block.
But you need some.
They do what you couldn't do. They block.
Okay, how about this here? Look at the teams that are really good. What do they tight ends do?
They block.
Gronk. Mm-hmm. Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. Greg Olsen. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. Huh? What do they do?
Delanie Walker. They're two extra offensive linemen. That's all they are.
So,
and I'm good with that.
So, in other words, you want Zeke to have like 500 carries. What about Dak? Dak's like, I don't just want to turn around and hand the ball off to Zeke. Mm-hmm. I want to showcase this arm I've been working on.
He's got one.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, handing the ball off like this or handing the ball off like that, you don't get to show it.
Or showing him the ball and pulling it back, and then you run with the ball.
No.
Is that legal?
Is that what you want him to do?
I'm not even saying a word.
You guys are going to miss the playoffs.
You're in for it.
You guys are, and I noticed I said you, because you're part of the Cowboys hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
You guys will miss the playoffs.
Mm. So, I will admit that you have me somewhat on the run here, right now, because I'm the first to admit on national television, I am deflated over Jerry Jones' failure to close the deal on Earl Thomas. I thought he would. And he didn't. And
he tried.
I don't even know what he did. But Earl Thomas would have been my team's version of Khalil Mack going to the Bears.
I agree.
That's the move that just ignites your locker room, where everybody comes next day to the locker room like, we got Earl.
Yeah.
We got him, and nobody else has him in this division. We have Earl Thomas. Yeah. And they already knew they have one of the best front sevens on defense in all of pro football. It's top five. It's definitely top five. And that was the deal closer. That's Super Bowl or bust. That's the move where you say, Jerry Jones just sent the locker room a message. This is the year. It's not 2 years from now when the kids all grow up. It's this year. It's Earl Thomas. And it was happening. And then it wasn't happening. And I'm worried about my team for Sunday because there's going to be hangover effect from this. There's going to be Earl Thomas letdown going to Carolina because I think this team was on hair trigger to acquire him, to welcome him into the locker room. But all that said, I've told you from the start, I can't explain exactly why, but I love this team. I don't love it as much as I would with Earl Thomas or with Travis Frederick being completely healthy.
Yeah.
Or with David Irving being able to play in the first four games.
What did I,
remember, we made those bets or whatever the big, what did we bet? Like three cases?
Okay? We bet three, five, okay. Whatever you want to bet.
That was before all this occurred or didn't occur.
Well, we knew
so
David Irving.
Somebody sitting across from me would welch on this bet because you even welched in the end. You've been saying the last couple of days, if they get Earl Thomas, the bets are off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't do that. I got the courage of my convictions because I still really, really like this team. I'm not going to say I love its chances, but this team, even in a stacked and loaded NFC, will be a 10-6 wild card team. You can book it, and I ain't welching on it. This team, you know, all the haters want to focus, and this team has.
Ain't nobody hating on the Cowboys.
You're the leader of the haters.
Why would I hate
them?
You're
the president of the Dallas Cowboy Hate Club. But the haters want to focus on what's not there. I keep focusing on what is there. You have the best running back in football.
No, you don't. He's not the best. Stop saying that.
On a mission this year to get even with the NFL for what it did to him wrongly last year, six-game suspension. And it's going to be Brady-esque after Deflategate. What did Tom Brady do after Deflategate in his four-game suspension? What did he do? Super Bowl is what he did. And he made Roger Goodell have to eat that, right, in front of the world.
So is that what you're saying? Are you saying Roger Goodell is going to hand the trophy to Zeke Elliott? Is that what you're saying?
He's going to have to hand him a different kind of trophy because he's going to lead the league in rushing. He's going to be the MVP. And I still believe, and I wish I had Travis Frederick, because when I made this proclamation, I had Travis Frederick. And now he's got this bizarre, rare autoimmune deficiency. And I must admit, he said yesterday he still has numbness and weakness in both arms.
Yes.
Well, that's not a good sign.
No.
The only silver lining was they did not put him on IR. So somebody upstairs believes that sooner than later he will be able to play football.
Can you put him on IR, Skip? He's gone for 8 weeks.
Eight weeks. So somebody thinks it's inside of 8 weeks,
correct,
or they wouldn't waste a roster spot on a guy who still has numbness and weakness in his arm.
But if he has numbness and weakness, what does that mean, Skip? He's losing weight because he can't lift.
It's terrible. It's just terrible. God bless him. But the point is that I do have Ezekiel Elliott looking the best he's ever looked. He's saying and doing all the right things. I'm knocking on wood.
Stop.
Jerry Jones' cell phone has not rung one time underneath his pillow at 4 a.m., right? So far, so great.
Okay.
And everybody, Zach Martin on down, they all say that he looks like he is in serious business mode this year. The quarterback will have top five statistics this year. He had top five QBR the last 2 years. Why would it change this year?
We're dinking and dacking to get you that.
You know what? He's going to be better without Dez Bryant and without Jason Witten. He got way too Dez dependent, and I think he got a little too Jason dependent because both of them, according to Stephen Jones, were constantly in Dak's ear in the huddle. And what did you tell me about Jason Witten? You can dink and dack all you want to him. Is he going to run after catch? He's going nowhere. He's already a statue to himself as a player, right? He's a statue on the field as a player. He deserves a statue, but he turned into his own statue, right?
I mean, he was never a speed merchant, but as we get older, Skip, we lose a step or two, and he didn't have a step or two to lose.
What do I tell you about Dak Prescott? He is Brady-esque. I'm not saying he'll ever, ever, ever be Tom Brady, but he's better off reading and spreading the football. And you did not mention one, Cole Beasley, who 2 years ago caught 75 balls from Dak Prescott and fell to 36 last year because Dez dependent. 88's open, single covered. I'm going to throw it to 88, and he leads the league in drops. Well, that was the story of the year last year. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Big addition by subtraction.
Okay.
Terrence Williams is still there. Alan Hearns, he looked pretty good to me.
You called him more T-Won't last year than T-Will.
Okay. Well, maybe he's T-Will this year. Oh, maybe he's going to have to be.
Okay, what's he been in the past?
He's been T-Will a bunch of times because he was always that sneaky, fast receiver who got behind you for the big touchdown.
You remember last year you fell into this trap. Mm-hmm. He had that big game against Kansas City.
He got the hurt at the end of that game.
Beating your drums and everything.
He needed foot surgery after the year, okay? Michael Gallup looks pretty good to me. I don't know. He's just some kid from Colorado State. You watch. Okay. He'll be pretty good.
We'll see if he gallop on Sunday.
Tavon Austin looked pretty good to me, and he was the rave of camp, man. That's all they talked about was Tavon took over training camp. Okay? Deontay Thompson. They cut him, then they brought him back. He's had Achilles issues. He can fly, man. He'll get behind
people. Can he catch?
Yep, I think he can catch. And Rico Gathers is the X factor in the red zone. Matt Ryan could have used Rico Gathers last night. I'll bet Matt Ryan would have cashed with Rico, because all you got to do is throw it up to 6 feet six and let him go up and snatch
it. We sure know what it plays?
Uh-huh.
Jerry says, well, you know, he can do real well when he know what to do.
Yeah. And by the way, they have this other receiver named Ezekiel something. I don't know, but you watch. He'll triple the balls he caught last year, Ezekiel Elliott will, because he's going to be catching them like crazy out of the back.
Now, he's not catching no 81 balls. He caught 27 balls.
With Le'Veon.
No, dude, stop it. No. Le'Veon, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, all them kind of like in that mode where they can run the ball and receive the ball. Yep. That's not what Zeke is. Yep. Can he catch the ball? Absolutely, but Eric Dickerson could catch, but I would much rather hand it to him.
Or pull it out and keep it, because the quarterback's going to be using his legs as much as his arm. I promise you, it is more Dak friendly. That means Dak carrying football.
No, it means Ezekiel Elliott carrying football.
No.
Yes.
So, I went out on this limb before, but I think Ezekiel Elliott has a shot at breaking our man Eric Dickerson's all-time record of 2,100. Nope, I'm not going to do it because I don't have Travis Frederick for God knows how long. I would do with Travis Frederick, but I don't have him.
But you should. You told me Looney.
Looney.
Yeah, you told me Looney is the real deal. Yeah. So put some dude.
I didn't say he was the real deal.
I love it. Quality backup. We got the best backup center in all of football.
Yeah.
So put some dude on it.
I'm not going to put dude on
it. What about your back end? What about your back end without Earl Thomas? That secondary with Heath.
Awuzie will turn into a star at cornerback.
Okay.
And Byron Jones is back where he should be at cornerback. I like him better there at safety because he doesn't have the instincts to play safety. Jeff Heath is okay. Xavier Woods is okay.
He hurt.
Kayvon Frazier is okay.
He hurt.
Okay. All right. But they're just okay. I told you I needed Earl. I don't have Earl. So I'm going to have to close my eyes on the deep balls, because I don't know, but I got a hellacious pass rush. I got some of the best. That linebacker core as a group might be the best in the NFL, because Jalen Smith's going to be a Pro Bowler. You watch.
Well, Thomas, when Thomas Davis comes back.
I think you're getting scared. I know you. You're getting quiet over there.
9-7.
No. Well, no 10 and play. 6 is 9 and 7. 9 and 7 is pretty good, right?
No.
In the NFC, 9 and 7.
Are we doing pretty good or are we doing playoffs? I just need to know.
I'm going 10 and 6. It'll be backdoor playoffs. No. They might get the last spot.
You're not getting anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked about it. I mean, what does Vegas say? Y'all have the 7th best odds to represent the NFC.
Okay,
the
that's only one off, right?
Okay, is that when did they start taking 7 teams to the NFL playoffs?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They don't.
Okay, Vegas is off and wrong.
Whoa!
No, they are.
Hold on.
No, they just off and are.
But you didn't do that when Vegas said LeBron James going to win like 50 games. You come in here with Vegas said, and what did you say?
Well,
Vegas keep building buildings with what?
Well, there you go. So okay. I just need to get through the first 4 games at 3-1, and then you are dead in the water. Because
hold
all of a sudden,
on.
I get David Irving back, I get Travis Frederick back, and Shannon Sharp is cooked right here.
Oh,
you're going to eat a bunch of Dallas Crows.
Hold on. You think y'all going 3-1 in this first 4?
Can I get some doing that? I think we got
I don't know about that week 2
big,
matchup.
Big X. Oh, I love the week 2. That's the only given I got.
Sunday night game
Giants.
Against the Giants.
Yeah, but it's
Dallas.
Home. It's home.
Yeah.
I like that one.
That ain't a home field court. Y'all make it seem like y'all got a home field advantage like the 12th man up in
Seattle. We're going to win the Giants, and we're going to beat the Lions at home. Can we win at Carolina or Seattle? I don't know.
Matthew Stafford, come on.
Huh?
Counting on Matthew Stafford.
Well, you're counting on everybody on the schedule because you're going to be in.
Cam. Whoa, Cam.
Yep.
Do that thing for me.
Looks like something Cam would wear.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does,
you know,
actually.
Crazy.
That's good.
Stat on Ezekiel Elliott. Mm. Even though he missed those 6 games last season, he still finished 10th in the league in rushing, 983 yards. 6 games he missed.
He still led the league in yards per game.
It's crazy.
What does that tell you?
It's time for us to move on.
You know what? By far, he led the league. No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. More of the Undisputed podcast is on the way, but first, a quick word from one of our sponsors. UFC bantamweight TJ Dillashaw loves the fight, loves the strategy, and you know what else he loves? Toyo Tigers. Because like Dillashaw, Toyo Tigers are as tough as they come, and they are the official tire of the UFC. There's a lot to love about Toyo Tigers. Aggressive design, proven on and off-road capabilities, Tires for any weather and the toughness to back it all up. We all know there's nothing worse than being stranded on the side of the road with a faulty tire. There's a confidence that comes with tough tires. So no matter what you're driving, no matter where you're driving, you can count on Toyo tires. Tough people love tough tires. If you're tough, these are the tires for you. Toyo tires. So the next time you need tires, ask for Toyo, the official tire of the UFC. Learn more at toyotires.com/UFC. Now, back to the show. No mercy.
Carson Wentz is still not cleared for contact, so last night he was only able to participate in the coin toss and cheer from the sideline as the Eagles beat the Falcons. Doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. NFL Network reports Wentz could miss several weeks, and Nick Foles could be the starter until October. So we're joined in the studio now by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Let's start with you on this one. How do you think this QB situation is going to play out in Philly?
Well, Nick Foles is a guy right now, but Carson Wentz, that is your franchise. Mm-hmm. And I believe when he comes back, it's really a no-brainer. And I say that now because of the way Nick Foles started the season last night.
Right.
But this is Carson Wentz's team. I mean, it's clear that he is the alpha in that locker room within that organization. My concern, however, is Nick Foles starting from the onset, from the word go last night. His showing last night was very similar to how he showed up in Oakland. When they played Oakland last season, he went like 19 for 38, one touchdown, and it wasn't so much his rating that was so shocking and alarming, which I'm sure you're going to touch. It was the lack of precision down the field. There was no pushing the ball down the field last night. Mm-mm. Three passes, receiving passes that were caught that were longer than 10 yards. You can't sustain drives that way. And they have the luxury of a really, really good defense, mm-hmm. which if your defense continues to play like that, you can get by. The defensive guys, 4 sacks, 8 TFLs, 13 quarterback hits. You're going to have success when a defense is playing like that. But as a quarterback, you can obviously see and tell that they missed Alshon Jeffries, that big target that you can throw the ball up to, the circumference area, the target. You don't have to be extremely perfect. Accurate and perfect. He's going to make those plays.
Keep going.
But
now you're getting hot.
I mean, it is a concern. And that was my concern going into this year. Nick Foles starting the season as the number one guy versus coming in after the offense was already rolling last year to sit in and just keep it going. Now you have to start this engine. It starts with you. And I just don't see it coming to fruition the way it did last year. I'm not going to overreact because it was one game, first game of the season, week 1.
I believe Wentz will take over in October, but they need to be very, very cautious. Skip, this is not your typical ACL tear. It's ACL, LCL. Normally, it's ACL, MCL. So it was a little bit more severe, and he tore it so late in the season. Everybody wants to say, well, you see what AP did? Very, very different. Very, very different situation. And the thing is, I don't ever think we'll see that Nick Foles that we saw for those two games in the playoffs, the championship game and the Super Bowl. Skip, he's not that guy. That guy is the greatest quarterback. If a guy could play like he played in the championship game in the Super Bowl, that's the greatest quarterback to ever live. Hmm. And Tom Brady, Joe Montana, whoever you want to say is the great, they can't play like that every game. So I believe he's a step better than what he showed last night, but he's nowhere near what he was in the Super Bowl. But if you look at their schedule, starting in October, they're home to Minnesota, at the Giants, home to Carolina, at Jacksonville. It's very important that they get off to a great start. Now, they got the win at Atlanta. Now, they got Tampa. They got Indy. They got Tennessee. You really need to stack those wins. Mm-hmm. I believe Wentz will be back in a month. But if he's not, and you got to go through this gauntlet, things could get real, real, real interesting. Hmm. Carson Wentz isn't healthy. When he's healthy, there's no question in anyone's mind except yours that Carson Wentz is the better of the two players. Only you believe that Foles is better than Carson Wentz.
No way.
So I just heard from both of you that Nick Foles just got lucky in an NFC Championship game and a Super Bowl, that it just sort of happened. Nobody can figure out why. You can't get lucky on the biggest stages in the sport
twice. I'm not
saying
he got lucky.
Twice. That's what he thinks. He thinks it was just some blip. It was just some freak of nature where he suddenly woke up and said, I'm Tom Brady.
Had you ever seen him play like that before?
Yep.
He's played lights out.
I saw him in a regular season under Chip Kelly go 27 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. I saw him outplay Drew Brees in a playoff game in Philly as a first-year starter, and yet Drew Brees in the end drove him down for a walk-off field goal. But Nick Foles played really well in that game. In the postseason for his career, Nick Foles is 8 touchdowns to 1 interception. For his career in the regular season going into last night, he was 61 touchdowns to only 29 interceptions. 29? That's outrageously good. That screams starting quarterback.
Yes, but not on that team.
So under Doug Peterson, he's now 6-1, but the one was the give-up game at the end of the year against my hapless Cowboys. It was just like a giveaway. Nobody's going to play. Nick Foles is barely going to play in that game.
Right.
And that's registered as a loss on his record. He should be 7-0, including last night. And I said this earlier, but I might have to dust off my old Tim Tebow slogan. All he does is win. He makes the plays that have to be made. And by the way, how much help did he get last night, and what was his degree of difficulty? Because he's playing against Matt Ryan, former MVP, just 2 years ago. Matt Ryan was the MVP of this league. Matt Ryan is throwing to the best receiver in pro football, according to you.
Not very accurately last night, though.
Okay, but he's still, you've got that weapon.
Yeah, he does.
You got Sanu. Sanu's pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not Greg Jennings, but he's pretty good. Calvin Ridley, everybody's raving about him. He was out there, I think. I don't know.
Threw
a couple of balls. But wait a second.
Go ahead.
Nick Foles doesn't have Alshon Jeffrey.
No, he doesn't.
Alshon Jeffrey helped make Carson Wentz last year, and he helped make Nick Foles in the postseason because you can throw it in his area code and he will snatch it the way Anquan did in that playoff run for Joe Flacco. Remember that? I thought Anquan just made Flacco.
Yeah,
he made him a bunch of money. I know that, right?
He did.
And then last night, think of degree of difficulty. All of a sudden, Zach Ertz just loses it. I don't know what happened. He just had a bad night.
You get a case of the drop.
He's their go-to. And once the demon gets in the back of your mind, and you say he didn't complete balls downfield, there was a 3rd-and-14 play. He hits Zach Ertz right in the breadbasket. I mean, it literally goes through his hands and hits him in the stomach, which means you're just, for one night, you lost it. And I sat in here belly aching about what the Cowboys didn't do because I thought Dallas Goedert was going to be the next Jason Witten, and Howie Roseman snaked him. He traded up one pick before in the second round and drafted Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert got hit right in the hands. Look at that. Boy, that's right in the breadbasket. Dallas Goedert, their rookie tight end, I think he's got star potential. But Foles hits him with a 15-yard pass for a first down right in the hands, and he just kind of muffs it, goes up in the air, and that was the big pick.
He
that
does.
That was the Deion.
That's a rookie mistake of not really slowing down. Nick Foles was trying to slow you down.
Yeah. I know you're going to get tagged.
Well, he tried to slow him down to try to put it.
Exactly.
Well, but he kept flying across there.
All right. But again, nothing really went right for Nick Foles, and he won the game, right?
Yeah.
Did he have LeGarrette Blount last night?
No,
he did not. Is Aguilar a number one receiver? He is not.
No.
He just not. So who are you throwing to? Zach Ertz has gone south mentally. What are you doing? How do you survive that game? Well, he made just enough plays to survive the game. And they won another game that you'd say, well, they didn't even go in as the favorite. Atlanta was favored by a point in the end because everybody's betting on Atlanta.
Here's my concern.
Did Nick Foles win the game or did Atlanta give it away?
Atlanta lost it.
With 15 penalties, 100 and some, over 40.
In the red zone.
You can't score.
The inefficiency in the red zone.
Atlanta blew that game. I mean, they had the same opportunity that was presented to them in the divisional game.
But Atlanta gave the game away, you say. Who made the dumbest mistake of the whole night? Somebody named Trey Sullivan on special teams for the Eagles. He steps on a live ball. Did he not?
Yeah. They kind of pulled him into that. I mean,
pulled him into it?
They did. They definitely wrestled him. They wouldn't let him go. They wouldn't let him go.
Because what they tell you, when they start waving you out, run out of bounds.
Get out.
I know.
As far away from the ball as you can.
Don't you have some live word that you scream?
Poison.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But get away. And he steps on the football. Was that not a huge mistake? That's a killer.
Well, Matt Ryan throwing an interception at the 3-yard line didn't help either.
All right.
But what concerns me is Nick Foles playing well then what do you do? Because coaches are very superstitious. They like momentum. We have momentum. We're 4-0. We're 5-1. And Carson comes back.
How would Carson have looked last night? What if they'd throw him into the fire?
And I know No.
But what if? What if he had missed the end of the year, missed all the playoffs, and they close their eyes and say, you got to go, and you don't have Alshon, and what if Zach Ertz had had a bad night, and you're playing against a really good Atlanta defense? Do you think Carson Wentz would have looked any better than Nick Foles did last night?
And I think the luxury that they have is that they can take their time with Carson Wentz because they have Nick Foles. Now, if you got a backup, say, like one of those guys in Dallas, or you got somebody that's not Nick Foles who's just gone out and won your Super Bowl.
We don't have a backup quarterback.
Yeah, you do. You got two of them.
We don't. They're just bodies. I don't know who they are.
But you could be.
I don't know how they're there.
In a situation like this, you could be overly cautious because you do have Nick Foles.
Yep. And I really think that's what they're doing, and rightfully so. When you're thinking about, when you look at Carson Wentz and who he is to that organization, to that city, he is their franchise. They are, this is, everything they're doing is built around Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. And so to rush him back, even if he's knocking at your door every single day, like, Peterson, duh, I'm ready to go. No, let's just take it easy because it's a long season. We've seen what has happened before with quarterbacks coming back early and players coming back early, and it doesn't work out. Mm. They have, as you mentioned, the luxury to literally sit back and say, Nick, we can go as slow as we need to to get this offense rolling and back to where we were last year.
Hypothetically, what if Nick Foles goes 4-0 by hook or crook?
You know what's going to happen.
What happens?
You know
what happens. All of a sudden, Carson Wentz says, I am 100% clear me. I'm ready to play.
And you throw
him
back.
No, he will. He'll throw him in there.
No, he won't.
The Philly fans are, they're the worst, man. They're the toughest. They boot him off the field at the end of the half.
I know what you want to happen.
Well, they're going to be all over Carson Wentz. The first interception, Foles.
No,
you
won't.
No,
you want to try to.
You don't know these people.
You want to try to sow that, but it's not going to happen, Skip Bayless. You might as well get ready to deal with this migraine for the next 15 years, because that's what Carson Wentz is going to be for your Cowboys, a migraine, and it. Botox and all these other drugs, oxygen. You know, sometimes they have to give you oxygen. You know, pure oxygen cured up a migraine. I know TD had them a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Limp it to him, Wentz. He's going to have a hard time.
Limp it to him, Wentz.
Yep. He's going to have a hard time.
Hard time doing what?
Because the pressure will be exponentially too much on him. Because he's going to be forced to come back in and suddenly take it up to an MVP level for, let's say, hypothetically, a 4-0 team. You can't screw that up. And if you do, if you throw a couple of picks in the first game,
Big old country farm boy.
Foles.
North Dakota Skip. You see that big old red?
Foles.
Used to be in the cold weather and farming on that big old farm he just bought up there.
Yeah.
He fine. He ain't worried about no pressure.
No, this is Carson Wentz's team. And I think everyone in Philadelphia,
the
fans, the team, the guys within that locker room.
I don't know.
The guy wearing number 9 Nick Foles jersey last night knows that that's Carson Wentz's team.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I watch Carson Wentz, maybe it's because it's deer hunting season, but he looks deer in headlights
he doesn't.
To me. He does.
What was 33-7 last year?
Uh-huh.
33 touchdowns, 7 picks.
I don't know. Was going to be
the MVP until he got hurt.
Yeah.
You really aren't going to give Carson Wentz any credit?
I don't know. I just never loved him. I think he's pretty good, but he's not.
He's not Dak Prescott.
No, he's not that guy.
Why would you stop?
What happened in their rookie years? What happened?
What happened last year?
What happened last year?
With the combined QBR of those two quarterbacks over these last 2 years? Who has the best stats? It's not even close. It's Dak.
He does love QBR.
No, well he just.
I love WIN.
Tell all.
That's right. What I love, Greg. Yeah. I love WIN.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you love 7-9 the first year under Carson Wentz?
You love 9-7?
Carson Wentz, WINCE.
You know
what
we all
love?
We all love you being here, Greg. So thank you. Thank you for joining us for this segment.
No mercy.
Well, the Falcons lost their playoff rematch against the Eagles last night, mostly because of their struggles in the red zone. Matt Ryan threw for 251 yards, but was sacked 4 times and didn't throw a touchdown pass. He was also 1-for-9 with an interception in the red zone in the 18-12 loss. We're joined now on the set by Super Bowl champion, former Falcons assistant coach, Brian Cox. Brian, we're going to ask you to point the finger here.
Who's to blame for the Falcons' loss last night?
Well, I think the offensive staff, and in particular Steve Sarkisian, when you look at it, the red zone struggles is what cost them the game. You know, you look at the first quarter, you go down there, they get three chances, then they go for it on fourth down, they come away with 0 points. They had an opportunity to be up 17-6 in the game or 17-3 in the game early on, and it just got away from them. So, you know, the play call, when you get in the money situation or when you go for it on fourth down, the head coach will come on the headset and say, hey, we're going for it on fourth down, run your play on third down that you like, and then we'll come back on fourth down. So when you look at the plays, they tried to go to Freeman on the third down play on the pass in the traffic, and then they come back and try to run outside. You can't run outside on the speed defense. So.
Nope.
They've admitted to struggles in the offseason about we worked on our red zone, and they just have to go back to the board and work on it some more. So unfinished product is not – you can't get overrated. When you look at this game, they lost 18-12. But you look at last year's game, it was 15-10. Two top 10 defenses they played, and it was a little sloppy early, but as the second half went on, they got to playing ball.
Mm. I agree. Steve Sarkisian, 1-for-5 in the red zone. That isn't nearly good enough. 12 points and 5 red zone trips. We expected them to improve the red zone. That should have been a point of emphasis in the offseason.
Right.
It hurt them last year because in the divisional round, have an opportunity, three cracks at the end zone, you win the game, and then who knows what happens. Maybe we're having a different discussion as far as Atlanta getting back to the Super Bowl and winning. But in this situation right here, but Matt Ryan played terrible too.
Right.
Because his accuracy, something must be wrong with his shoulder because that ball was fluttering and – everything seemed like it was a struggle for him to push the ball down the field.
But I will say this again. Matt's a Philly kid going home. He struggled there. When I was there, we went up there and they ran for 200 yards on us and they beat us, but he didn't have a great day. Last year in the championship game, they put up the 15 points with a chance to win late, throwing the ball up high to Julio. You got to give the receivers a chance. So,
right.
You know, is I don't want to overblow it and make it a big thing. It's game one. It's a, you know, when you look at week one, some teams going to come out and look like an offensive juggernaut and we're going to crown them. This is the front runner. Man, there's a lot of ball to be played. There's a lot of ball to be played.
But ball was played last night, so somebody's got to get the blame. And by the way, speaking of that playoff game last year, that ball hit Julio right in the hands. We're having a different conversation if he catches it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to start off with Julio, is he really the best receiver in football?
Yes.
You keep saying that.
I believe he is.
Does he have Randy Moss in him? Does he have that mentality of, I'm going to take this game over? I don't get that from him.
He tried. The dagger route. He tried to get out. He tried to get out of Dodge.
I'm going to stand up for Julio because having been there and coached on that staff, I have never in my career, 12 as a player, 10 as a coach, seen a guy that gets double teamed and triple teamed the way that this guy
does.
So that's why you talk about from a fantasy standpoint, he's not going to come up with all the numbers. But this guy can do any and everything you would ask any receiver to do. He can come in and out of his breaks like Antonio Brown. He can go get the ball like Randy Moss or Terrell Owens. There's no route on the tree that the guy can't run. I mean, he's a special player.
But does he have Michael Irvin in him? Does he have Killer
in him? Oh, he got some
him?
Dog in him.
Oh, yeah, he's a dog.
I don't get it. I don't see it in body language. I don't see him leading the team the way Michael Irvin led the Cowboys to 3 Super Bowls. It should have been 4, but go ahead.
He's the most unassuming superstar
unassuming.
That you would ever
–
you would ever
– No diva in him.
Okay. He's the nicest guy, and for all the stuff that we talk about with the receiver position about – the diva stuff, this guy just goes out, puts in his work, and he keeps his head down, and he's the most approachable superstar you'll ever see.
Okay, now to the quarterback. I've been around him enough to say he is a great kid. You know, he's not a kid anymore, but he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is he that guy? Is he the guy? Is he the guy that will make the play to win the game at the moment? I've never sensed that, and I've been consistent in my opinion about him. He's very good. Is he great? No. What did I see last night? And again, maybe something's wrong with his arm because his arm seemed softer than Nick Foles did last night.
Nothing's wrong with his arm. I mean, when you look at this guy, Matt is a really good quarterback. I would agree with you that would you say he's a great quarterback? When you mention the great quarterbacks in the game, he's not one of the first 4 or 5 guys.
But he won it.
But there's a reason why the Falcons came back and gave Julio a contract this year, amendment. Because they understand and know that you got to have all these weapons around him to make him successful.
Right.
And so, you know, Calvin Ridley was a no-show last night.
Was,
Sanu came up with a couple catches, but not for a lot of yards. Devontae Freeman got hurt early, so Coleman had to come in and do it. So we talk about all these weapons. Maybe we got too many weapons. But late in the game, you got to think players are not plays. Mm-hmm. And Matt just didn't give the receivers an opportunity to catch the ball late in the game. Yeah, you got to throw it in there and give him a chance.
Matt Ryan had five throws into the end zone because he got one gift at the end because they call illegal contact. Mm-hmm. It was just ticky-tack. You don't call that on fourth down in Philadelphia. You get an extra crack at the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he gets five throws and doesn't convert one of them and doesn't really come close to converting one of them, right?
Well,
that's just wrong.
The last part of the game, I could see what he was doing because they were out of timeouts. You got 18 seconds. You got three plays. If it's not there, throw it away. Mm-hmm. But on third and fourth down, you got to give Julio an opportunity. You got to give him a chance because at that point, the game's over. I also will go back to the first quarter red zone possession where if you just come away with some points, you get three. Late in the game, now it's 18 to 15. You need a field goal. You're in the red zone. You got a tie game.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes when you say we're going to stay aggressive, mm-hmm. that's cold word for we screwed up.
Okay, I got it. And back to Sarkisian. He's an easy target today, and I'm sure in Atlanta on the talk shows they're going to be scorching him. But the only call that I had big question about was what you brought up, the fourth down call. I don't know what you're thinking. You're going to run Devontae kind of off tackle, but you're it's the play start off tackle, and then he had no choice, but he had to bounce it hard, mm-hmm. and he went nowhere fast because you can't call that play against that. That might be the best defense in pro football. It just might be. That front seven.
But you can't take – he took six sacks last night. Two were negated by penalty, but he's taking them in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought after what happened in Atlanta when you get the big completion of Julio at the 20-yard line, like Matt Ryan says, I'm never taking a sack again in the red zone. That's not going to happen. And lo and
especially
behold.
Especially a veteran quarterback. Yeah. You just know better.
Like you, as you mentioned, you keep mentioning, he's an MVP. If he's a second or third year guy, B. Cox, we can understand it. We played long enough to know, like, okay. But Matt Ryan has been in the league too long. He's too good of a player to take those kind of negative plays in that situation. It cost him once because he missed. It didn't cost him. He ended up getting a 52-yard field goal. But you can't make a living taking sacks in the red zone. You need to make sure you always come away with points. And I just didn't think he played well because Julio ran the speed out, 10 roll to 12. That should have been a pick six.
Right.
It should have been a pick six. He threw the ball late on the dagger, on the over route. Now, Julio screwed him one time on the under route.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan's in the shotgun. Julio, you know you got to take that ball deeper mm-hmm. because when you start to break open, he doesn't even have the ball.
I also take away from this game, is it Philadelphia's design and blueprint that we're going to rush five, we're going to keep Freeman in and have to make him block a linebacker. We're going to get one-on-one inside. The middle of the pocket started to collapse on mm-hmm. Matt Ryan, and oftentimes he was throwing the ball off his back foot. So that pressure in his face was, you know, a blueprint for this offense with all
this.
The weapons.
Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox.
Barnett.
Chris
Bennett,
Long.
Bennett.
Long with
Chris Long ate last night. He had, I think, 2.5 sacks. Probably should have had 3.5.
But I just named five guys who are studs, man.
But
you didn't even say Nada.
I didn't say Nada. And he made one big play.
But because you know, as the scouting report goes, you're like, okay, this running back, he really ain't trying to step up and pick up the blitzing linebacker. You know, as a running back, what I'm trying to do is cut the distance down between which B. Cox can get ahead of steam and hit my quarterback. He might run over me, but he's going to have to run over me in the line of scrimmage because I'm not giving him a two-way option. I'm going to step up, make you run over the top of me.
And that's why I know that Devontae Freeman is hurt because he's a dog. He has no problem doing that. I've seen him do it time and time again. Last night, he was not really interested in doing it. That told me something's not right. And so when he didn't return to the game, that answered the question for me. But he's a dog. He has no problem stepping up and taking on a block.
Well, you know, he's had a problem with concussions.
Mm-hmm.
That's never a good thing when you're a running back. Because guess what? They're going to hand you the ball, and you're going to have to lower your head to get up in there.
And he's not the biggest running back.
No.
But he's a dog, though.
I know.
Don't talk about his size, because he's a dog.
Oh, I know. He's like all heart to me.
Yes. Well, you got to be a lot of dog to pick up that blitzing linebacker, because B. Cox ain't give you no move. He tried to run right over the top. He tried to put his helmet in your chin.
Well, maybe if B. Cox had been on that coaching staff last night, Atlanta comes away with a win. Is that possible?
But that was a bull.
I ain't gonna say all that.
Yeah. That was a bull jive call on Grady Jarrett too.
The same thing happened later in the game when Chris Long fell on Matt Ryan and they didn't get the same call because it was in the fourth quarter late. When you put body weight on the quarterback, it should be a penalty regardless of what time of the game it is.
Yeah.
What's he supposed to do?
They want you to roll.
Yeah, I ain't rolling. I ain't going to dislocate my shoulder trying to protect him. If I'm going to dislocate a shoulder, it's going to be his, not mine.
You better hope your man Aaron Rodgers gets that flag again and again to protect
they
him.
They're going to get him.
He's got that Tony Packers Romo defense. Collarbone now.
Yeah, I ain't worried about Aaron Rodgers.
Packers defense going to be good this year. Packers Super Bowl champs.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
Mike
Pettin is the best pickup non-player for the whole offseason.
He is very good at what
that
he
defense
does.
Won't give up but 17 points a game.
Super Bowl champ?
Yeah.
Did you just say that Aaron Rodgers is going to beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl?
Tom Brady ain't going to make it. It's going to be the Chargers or the Texans.
Ooh. Or the Texans. Ooh, you got to pick one of them.
Hot takes.
I don't have to pick one.
Yes, you do.
I
just
pick two. I just feel good about Green Bay. In the AFC, I'm not so sure because this is the first year you see a couple chinks in the Patriots' armor.
Chinks in the armor?
No receivers. Who are you going to throw it to?
It doesn't matter. He'll go pick three guys in the stands.
No, he won't.
Ain't that easy. They're going to have to spread Gronk out to get Gronk 1-on-1, but then they're going to miss the slot receivers. Amendola's in Miami.
Want to bet that the AFC Championship game is in Foxborough?
I bet you that.
Okay. I like my schedule. Yeah.
That cream puff schedule.
It's a cream puff, man.
I bet you that.
Huh?
I bet you that.
Well,
the Chargers ain't winning
games in Foxborough.
Can I be in my pick? Joey Bosa is probably going to miss game one.
Oh, is he? Uh-oh. Are you?
No, I'm staying with him. I'm riding with A-Lin. I'm riding with my homeboy, Wink. Huh. Bosa, Melvin Ingram, your guy.
Yeah, well, B-Fox has two AFC picks.
So it doesn't matter because he said Green Bay is going all the
right,
way.
Right, but the Texans defense going to get healthy. Romeo Cornell is back as a defense coordinator. So you missed Clowney. You missed
Merciless.
Watt. You missed Merciless. Mm-hmm. So all your big dogs are coming back. And remember
they
when
they play offensive
line? They were number one when Romeo was the coordinator. Uh-huh. So now he's back.
Okay.
You're removed. And Watson is a beast.
B-Cox, it's good to see you.
Always.
Wait, thank you for joining us. No mercy. Well, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are a 7.5-point favorite at home Sunday night against the Bears. Leading up to the game, Rodgers told NBC's Peter King that there's no better job in sports than being the Packers quarterback and added that Green Bay is, quote, America's team. Interesting choice of words, America's team. What do you think about that, Shannon? America's team.
I don't really think it's even close. Skip, my brother played in Green Bay for 7 years, and I went to a lot of games, and not one time did I hear a fan say, we are America's team.
Oh, thank you.
I am very surprised that Aaron Rodgers said that. There are a lot of small, you know, towns, blue collar, where they play football. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. They don't. As much as it pains me to say this, the Cowboys, and they're losing behind in the last 20-plus years, are America's team. Green Bay, look, you had, when Lombardi was there, you adopted the title, the moniker, Title Town. Mm. See, that I love Title Town. Mm-hmm. And see, when you don't win titles like the Cowboys did in the 60s, yep, you got to adopt the name America's team, mm-hmm, i.e. Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Green Bay, Title Town. I.e. Cowboys don't win anything in the 60s or the 80s or the 2000s or the 2010, you become America's team. Mm. So I am shocked Aaron Rodgers would say something like this because it's not true. As much as I want to agree with Aaron, the Packers are not America's team.
Hmm. I'm shocked. You finally got one right. That might be a first here on Undisputed.
It's them sorry jokers down there in Dallas, Texas.
Sorry jokers. So, allow me to say about Aaron Rodgers that he also makes me sick because he got his money, he's got his Danica, life is good up there in Green Bay, and he is feeling himself. And all of a sudden, he blurts this out with a little smirk on his face as he was interviewed on NBC by Peter King, the great Peter King, mm-hmm, and he knew exactly what he was saying and who he was targeting. He was trying to rile up Cowboy Nation because he knows Cowboy Nation has caused him some problems, just as he's gotten even with them a couple of times. But this was classic Aaron Rodgers stepping over the line and stepping in it because he tried to explain that Green Bay, because the Packers are publicly owned, that somehow they're America's team. What are you looking for?
My notes.
Oh, good.
Because I want to see if they play Green Bay. Yeah. Do y'all play Green Bay this year?
We do not.
I want to see another beatdown.
Yeah. So, Aaron Rodgers is so off on this because Green Bay is only Green Bay, Wisconsin's team. That's all they are.
Wisconsin's team.
Yeah, okay, I'll give them that. And that's great, and it's great. And I've been a bunch of games up there, and they're crazy for their
they
Packers.
Are.
And they travel well. I give them that.
Yes.
Because they will take your stadium over if you will let them.
Yes.
But they're about 1/100th of Cowboy Nation because the Cowboys aren't just America's team. They are the world's team. They are the most valuable team in the world. And think about that. In the whole world. All the soccer franchises, all the, you know all of them. I don't even follow it. But
Man U
and
Barcelona.
Come on.
Garmin.
It's Jerry Jones's team is the most valuable in the world. All the top TV-rated games feature
Cowboys.
The most loved and hated team in all the world, the Dallas Cowboys. And by the way, NFL Films named them America's team. It wasn't somebody proclaiming it in Dallas, but it stuck because it was true.
It was not. They hadn't won anything. When they did that, they had not won anything, Skip Bayless. And you know it.
No, I think it came after. Let's see, it came after.
The first Super Bowl?
No, wait a second. It was after the third one. So they had already won two. They'd won two Super Bowls at that point.
He won nothing.
So Aaron Rodgers is also miffed that he's gone up against Dak Prescott three times in his career already. That's a lot of games to play against a kid who's only going into his third year. And in those three games, Dak Prescott outplayed him every time. And do I need to mention that Aaron Rodgers, if not for the Dez robbed game, it was a catch game, he would be 4-7 in the postseason. So he knows what's up. He knows what time it is.
What time is it?
Yeah.
3-1 against the Cowboys. Yeah.
Well, thanks to two, like, the most mystifying field goals I've ever seen in my life, hand of God field goals.
Aaron Rodgers put them in position
yeah.
to get those field goals. Yeah.
Well, Dak outplayed him.
No, he didn't.
Out QBR'd him in every game. Dak Prescott, as a raw rookie fourth-round pick, went to Lambeau and just stuck it to him.
Yeah, and then we came back and repaid y'all.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm here to say I'm glad Aaron put himself in the crosshairs because this is a big year for Aaron Rodgers. He got the big contract. He's got big pressure and expectations on him because, as I think most Packer fans know, Aaron Rodgers, since that long-ago Super Bowl, is 5-6 in the postseason. How can that be when you're the greatest quarterback ever, according to you?
Because when your defense gives up.
Oh,
see, well, you can be as great as you want to. You can, Jamie, you can throw for 505 yards, the most in playoff history. You can have the most yards ever generated in a playoff game. But if your defense gives up more points than you score, you're going to lose. Huh. And that's what happened, didn't it, Skip? Huh. You remember, we had this conversation. It was a glorious Monday. We came in here, and you were so upset. I was on cloud nine, myself personally. That's just me. I don't know how anybody else felt, but I felt good about what I had witnessed because I just wanted you to see what it was like to be Aaron Rodgers, to be Peyton Manning, when you play really, really good and things that are out of your control because you do not play on the other side of the football, they go haywire and you lose. You never, ever knew what it felt like.
So I guess that in Aaron's last six playoff losses that Mike McCarthy has benched the best defensive player for the whole game. Maybe that's that excuse.
Well, first
so
of all,
he Malcolm Butler'd somebody the way Bill Belichick did in the Super Bowl?
Have you seen those Packers defense? They gave up 50. They gave up 51 to the Cardinals. They gave up 37 to Eli. Mm-hmm. When they went 15-1, they went 15-1 with the 30th ranked defense. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers won the MVP that year.
Mm.
That just goes to show you. But they gave up 37 then, Skip.
Mm.
Remember, they gave up all them yards when Colin Kaepernick came in there and beat them. Rushed for 181 yards and threw for 200 yards and two touchdowns.
Yep.
What's he supposed to do with that?
Mm. Tom Brady knows how to keep his defense off the field.
Well, why didn't he do it in the Super Bowl?
Well, I don't know. He threw for 505. That's pretty good ball control.
Whoa. At my restaurant. That's why I stayed open late for Tom Brady. Gave one of them old fat, juicy Lucy.
Special seat.
I did. No.
Back room.
No, not the back room.
He deserved it.
I want people to see him.
Yeah.
I put him right there in the middle. Pull the curtains back so everybody can see him sitting at that loser's table.
Yeah.
Because he had taken the L in Minnesota.
Huh.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that you rave and rave about Aaron Rodgers, but you didn't pick Aaron Rodgers to get to the Super Bowl this year.
A lot of people are. And what did I tell
a
you?
A lot of people are.
It was between them and the Saints.
Huh. Okay. But you went with Drew Brees. So, again, I think you agree with me. In the postseason.
You didn't go with Dak?
In the postseason, I would trust Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again.
Why didn't you pick Dak? I mean, he outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
Because they don't have Earl Thomas. It's simple as that. Or I would have. I wouldn't pick him to beat Tom Brady. I'd pick him to play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I was poised to do it. I just needed the deal closed by Jerry Jones.
Dak Prescott didn't have Earl Thomas his first year. He went 13-3. Yeah. 26 touchdowns, what, 3-4 picks? Mm-hmm. I mean, why didn't Earl Thomas not? If he's that guy, I don't hear Tom Brady say, or I don't hear anybody making any excuses. Man, if Tom Brady had Khalil Mack, if Tom Brady had Von Miller, or if he had Aaron Donald, they don't do that for him.
Dallas had a pretty terrible defense that year. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers just torched him in the first half.
Really?
And then here came Dak.
Aaron Rodgers, the one time he had a top five defense, a top 10
like
defense.
21-3, and here came Dak. I don't know how he did it. All of a sudden, he throws three touchdown passes, and Dallas is ahead? Whew. Amazing.
Green Bay, the one time they had a top 10 defense, can you tell the people at home, since you like bring it up since the last time, when they had a top 10 defense, what did Aaron Rodgers do at Jerry's World?
What was that, like 15 years ago?
No. You brought it up, 2011. You know what it was. 2011.
It was 8 years ago.
2011.
8 years ago?
Top 10 defense, guarantee you get you to the Super Bowl and win.
You know, when I was watching Aaron on TV last night being interviewed by Peter King, he looked like he'd aged. He just looked like, I don't know. That just means.
Stop hating.
You know, he's getting up there.
The man 33 years old, Skip. 34.
I think he's 34.
Okay.
He's like an old 34.
His demeanor, his body language, he looked old.
Tom Brady looks like a young 41.
No, he don't.
Aaron looks like an old 34.
Don't do that. I mean, because he got the beard. You remember Tom Brady had that beard, and he looked all old. Mm. Beard ages you. Okay. And maybe that's
the problem.
Maybe he wants the beard. Maybe Danica likes the beard. Okay, whatever the case may be.
I don't know.
Let him wear his beard.
I don't know, but the spotlight is on one Aaron Rodgers.
It's been that way since Brett Favre got up out of Dodge. Mm-hmm.
This is it. Let's see if he can live up to that big money. I don't know.
He's been living up to it since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
5-6 in the postseason? That's horrible.
How many times has team
that's given like Kirk Cousins or somebody.
You see what happens when your team gives up 40-plus points. You lose.
If he's that good, he should just overcome it.
Hold on. Why didn't Tom do that in the Super against Nick Foles?
Nick Foles?
Yes.
Hmm.
Put Foles on it.
Hmm. You saw that Philly defense last night. They gave up 505.
Yeah.
Look what it did to Matt Ryan last night, and look what Tom Brady did to it in the Super Bowl.
Atlanta in Philadelphia had them to 18 points. Huh. You at a neutral site gave up 41. No mercy.
Well, the Vikings start their season at home against the 49ers on Sunday. It'll be the first regular season game as a Viking for Kirk Cousins, who signed a monster deal to join Minnesota this offseason. Cousins is leading a team that was just one win away from the Super Bowl last season. So Kirk Cousins in a new division, new team. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I expect him to have a big year. Maybe not stat-wise, Skip, because they're going to be able to play from the lead. Mm-hmm. His defense is outstanding.
Yep.
One of the all-time great third-down defenses in NFL history. Mm-hmm. They bring everybody back from that unit. Offensively, the talent that he has around him, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, they get Dalvin Cook back. Yep. Latavius Murray is a great backup. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, Skip. He'll be judged by one thing. They went to the NFC Championship game last year with Case Keenum. They believe had they had better quarterback play, they would have been representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. They give Kirk Cousins $84 million fully guaranteed. Anything less than the Super Bowl is failure because he's the only guy, it's the only upgrade they got. The defense comes back. They paid a ton of money to keep these guys long term. Thielen and Diggs. So it's him. It's on his plate. Anything less than the Super Bowl is abject failure. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
Because that's why they went and got it. Because if you could have had Case Keenum for probably $15 million a year if you believe he could have got you there. But you say, you know what? No. We need a guy that's going to give us better play at that position. And Kirk Cousins, you're that guy. So he must deliver them. They need to be in Atlanta for this season to be a success.
A guy who's under 500 as a starting quarterback of the Washington Redskins. That guy?
He'll be over 500 when it's all said and done. Yeah.
How can he not be over 500 with this team?
They loaded.
What?
They loaded.
Come on. So, if I had any guts, I would pick the Vikings to miss the playoffs. And I've thought hard about it, but I just can't get there because of what you just said. They are so loaded everywhere but quarterback that it's hard for me to compute the fact that Kirk Cousins could drag this team that far down to miss the playoffs, even though the NFC, as we know, is pretty stacked in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for me to believe that they won't win this division because we know Aaron Rodgers' team is not loaded, and I'll give you that. They're not loaded. I like his wide receiver core. I don't love the rest of it.
Right.
They got some kids in the secondary. I like most of them, but they're all just kids in the secondary, so I don't know how they're going to perform. The Bears going to be better? Yes, they'll be better.
Didn't the Packers sign Sheldon Richardson?
Yeah.
So they should be a little better.
Really?
Muhammad Wilkins, excuse me.
Muhammad Wilkins, yeah.
Mo.
Yeah. That's. But are you going to buy into –
No.
Like, okay, you're going to buy into the Bears? You're going to buy into the Lions? Nope. They'll both be like the Lions are going to win 8 games
right.
to me. The Bears will be much better, but they got Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback, yeah. and I'm not buying that. So back to Kirk Cousins. I'm going to say what I always say about him. He'll have some sensational games, and he will have some head scratchers, and you'll be forced to come in here and say, I don't know what he was doing yesterday. I don't know what he was thinking. He is the classic underconfident overachiever. And when he gets going, he can really get going. Right. And Mike Shanahan loved him coming out of college.
Yes.
He loved him.
Loved him so much that he took a quarterback with the second pick. He ended up taking another one and went in the third round, fourth round.
Yeah.
I think Kirk Cousins was a third round pick.
Yeah. Okay. Because he loved
Kirk. Who does that?
He loved Kirk Cousins more than he loved RG3, but he got sort of railroaded into trading the sun and the moon for
RG3. Well, he wanted Tannehill from where he was sitting.
Okay.
But he was forced to take RG3 and give up everything.
Okay. So all of a sudden, Kirk Cousins, a losing quarterback in Washington, becomes by far the highest paid player in the history of the National Football League. He has now become the most overpaid player in the history of the league, and he has more pressure on him as we speak than any player in this league because of everything you just said.
Yeah.
Because he has to be it.
Right.
He has to put them over the top into the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
That's what we're talking about here.
Yes.
It was a Super Bowl or bust kind of move.
Right.
You gave him $28 million a year guaranteed.
He's what, Skip, is as simple as this. What Minnesota did is the equivalent of what the Golden State Warriors. When you got Kevin Durant, you said the reason why we didn't get it done, we needed this guy. Okay, you go get that guy. Anything less than winning the championship for the Warriors that year, for Kevin Durant's first year, would have been seen as failure. Anything less than that now, Skip. Because you bring that defense and they got all those guys, those Pro Bowlers and all pro guys, and you look at the skill set, you put their skill set with anybody from out to end to backfield.
Yep.
So, like you said, it's on your plate, Kirk. They gave you $28 million per year, fully guaranteed. So, no matter what happened, Kirk Cousins gonna get all that cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got, in Atlanta, in the first week of February, Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings, and you need to be there. And I'm not talking about it as a spectator. I'm not talking about getting man of the year. I'm talking about having that team in Atlanta.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give a silver lining to Packers fans here, because again, I'm a Cowboy fan. My arch rival, Redskins. So I know Kirk Cousins from all the big clashes. These are the biggest games of the year for Dallas and Washington. Mm-hmm. Those two playing. So Packers fans versus the Vikings. You should learn not to fear Kirk Cousins, because he will throw it to you when you need him to throw it to you, because he always threw it to me when I needed it. Because Kirk Cousins, in the biggest games of his year, each time, he went 1-6 versus my Cowboys. 1-6? Kirk Cousins lost all 4 games he played against Dallas in Washington. So he lost to the Cowboys 4 times at home. He lost all 4 times to a young quarterback named Dak Prescott. Really? And he got $28 million because of that? What does that tell you? Those are the games. Those are magnitude games. Mm-hmm. Those have extra meaning, extra stakes.
It tells me free agency is not about being good. It's about being free.
Yeah, right place, right time.
We've never seen a quarterback come up in his prime and be totally free. Normally they have tags. You got to give up a first rounder. You got to give up 2 first rounders. And you got to sign him. Mm-hmm. Well, Minnesota says if all we got to do is sign him and we don't have to give up any draft picks, so we had never seen anything. Free agency is not about being good. It's about being free. And Kirk Cousins was free. And Minnesota said, if we had had you last year, we believe we would have went to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have you, but we got you now.
Okay.
And so he needs to deliver for Minnesota for putting all that faith in him.
Okay. So it's funny to me that division boils down to a team in Green Bay that's Aaron Rodgers or bust, basically.
Correct.
And it boils down to a team in Minnesota that could bust because of Kirk Cousins.
Right.
It's everything else is right, right, right. Everything in Minnesota, Green Bay doesn't have,
right,
except at the quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers basically has to be great every single week. Kirk Cousins does not, because he's so loaded defensively and he has so many more playmakers around him than Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play great, that defense is going to probably give up 25, 30 points and they're going to lose.
You're probably right.
The likelihood of Minnesota, now we saw that anomaly in the championship game.
Yep.
It snowballed on them skipping. They couldn't get it back under control. But the likelihood of someone going scoring 30 points on that defense is not very good, not very likely. So Kirk Cousins doesn't have to put the pressure on himself, say, you know what? God, I need to get me 350 and three or four touchdowns, because if I don't, we're going to lose.
Hmm. Is it possible that defense isn't quite as good as you think it is?
There's a possibility.
It got folded.
It might be not as good as it was last year.
You know?
But they can still rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
They still good on the back end. They still got some Xavier Rose's
studs.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what they're made of.
Well, we'll definitely see what Kirk Cousins is made of or not made of, because the eyes of the NFL world will be on him starting Sunday against the new It kid, Jimmy G. So here we go.
Okay.
Let them lose that game and the sky will fall in that dome.
Oh, man. Ooh, they better not lose to San Francisco.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.